It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
How much time till we're on?
Ron.
What?
We're on the air right now.
I'm ready. Good evening. I'm Ron Burgundy. Here's what's going on in your world tonight.
The award-winning 7-seat Kia Sorento, Kia's large SUV, available now at your nearest Kia dealer. This is Sports Day.
Yes, it is. Sats and Rat for Sports Day after a massive weekend of sport. Hope you enjoyed it, everyone. There was some great rugby league. There were some great performances outside of rugby league as well. And we're going to get to that very soon. And welcome if you're listening through the Super Radio Network, all the SCN networks as well. If you're listening on the app or the podcast, welcome to the show. It's going to be a great week this week. I love this week because it's Indigenous Round as well and becomes an educational week each and every year. And the show is brought to you by the award-winning 7-seat Kia Sorento. If you want to get us on social media, TikTok, Sports Day S-E-N, on Instagram, S-E-N-Q, and on Twitter, Sports Day N-S-W. How are you, Rat?
I'm good, mate. How are you? Big weekend for you down in Penrith. I saw the reunion you guys had.
Yeah, 20-year reunion. The Roosters game, of course. So we had all the players. They gathered all the players at the club. They did a great job, actually. Ryan Girdler and Presto are the only two that couldn't make it, unfortunately. Mm.
Mm. I've got to ask you. I toured with Craig Gower. Mm. He was a wild, wild man.
That's why his nickname's the Pig.
Yeah. Has anything changed?
Yeah, because he's a father of two beautiful daughters now.
And right.
So he has calmed down a lot.
Oh, he has?
Yeah, he has.
Oh, that's good.
He has.
He was a lovable rogue, mate.
Oh,
he was one of the best.
One of the great teammates. One of the most loyal human beings you'd ever meet.
Yep.
But in saying that, he's still the last man standing.
Oh,
yeah,
of course.
Well, yeah,
but it's a pretty special occasion.
He's
for
a far more respectable man now. He's a great guy. Yeah, one of the great guys off the field. One of the great teammates as well. Yeah, he's always one of those guys. You just got to look through the corner of your eye wherever he is. You just don't know what he's up to. Yeah. So it was a great night actually. Well done to Panthers. Thank you very much to Darren and the staff at Penrith for gathering everyone together for that night, which ended up being a great win for Penrith. And bad luck for the Roosters fans. It was a dismal night for the Roosters fans.
Oh,
we're going to get through that a little bit later on as well.
They're struggling, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you had a big week as well because I was watching that Sharks game at Brookvale yesterday.
Mm.
And well done, Sharkies fans. Good win over Manly.
Yep.
And I tell you what, they were ruthless yesterday, the Sharks, for a period of time there defensively.
Oh, mate, their defence was insane in that second half particularly.
But I got reminded that they played for the Steve Rogers Cup. Now, I sat back and I thought, I've got to remind myself to ask Rat this. But you have educated me this afternoon that the Whites Sharks versus Manly is because of the two grand finals they played against each other, correct?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and Dad had a great relationship with a lot of the Manly players. Obviously, there's a lot of Australian players throughout that period that were from Manly, and you know, the likes of Les Boyd and Bob Fulton and through the 70s and Graham Eadie and obviously they played against each other, but it was brilliant. You know, I mean, the Sharks have been always included us, but probably even more so now that that Fitzy's taken the helm. He got me to, he FaceTimed me into, or Zoom meeting into their team meeting before their captain's run and sort of asked me to explain the importance of this game to our family. And it was just a really special moment. And then after the game, they won the game and Moon's the head of recruitment down there said, mate, we're going to FaceTime you from the team meeting after the game. And mate, FaceTimed me when Fitzy was talking to the team and, that's for the team song, and it was a pretty emotional to have all the family there because, my kids don't. I mean, my older kids only knew my dad, like they were two
yeah.
And probably like 3 and 5 when dad passed, and my younger kids they never met my grandfather.
Just watch footage. That's it.
Yeah, that's it. So to see the importance of the way that the Sharks place that onto my father and include us as a family, it's pretty special for us.
So, the good coaches, awesome. The good clubs, as I've said earlier on, if they look at their heritage and the history of their club and they educate their players on the history of the club as well. Mm. We saw that with the Paul Green medal and that Paul Green game a couple of weeks ago with the Cowboys. if you ingrain that into your players, they just buy into the club yep. so much, don't they? And you see the way the players have responded.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It was a great effort. It's the first time in the club's history that they've won back to back games at Brookvale Oval.
Really?
Yep.
Wow. It's a tough place to win.
Tough place. Yep. Yeah.
Now, 25th anniversary as of yesterday, 1998, and it was the last ever episode of this show. Daddy Vass?
Our button is broken.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Oh,
it's been pushed.
Oh, such a great build-up. There we go.
I did it for you.
I don't know what you had to tell her that for. You put me in a very difficult position, marine biologist. I'm very uncomfortable with this whole thing.
Yeah, with all due respect, I would think it's right up your alley.
Well, it's not up my alley. It's one thing if I make it up. I know what I'm doing. I know my alleys. You got me in the Galapagos Islands living with the turtles. I don't know where the hell I am.
Seinfeld, last episode, the finale, May 14, 1998, which was yesterday here in Australia. So I loved it. Did you like the show?
Oh, I loved it. You know what? I didn't get into it that much until it was like 4 or 5 seasons in, and then I just... Oh, mate, I just lapped it up.
I was the same. I didn't like it at first, and I grew into it. It was a show about nothing. Favourite Seinfeld character that's not in the main four characters? 0457-736-736. Mine was Putty.
Mine was Newman.
Yeah.
Newman.
when he was just saying something insightful, and he sat down, and he sat on the fork.
Newman.
And he used to sit next to David Berkowitz, the former serial killer in the mail room. Yeah, my favourite was Putty, so 0457-736-736.
Do you believe in God?
Yes.
Oh, so you're pretty religious.
I try.
So is it a problem that I'm not really religious?
Not for me.
Why not?
I'm not the one going to hell.
Oh, you're so dry. You're so dry. 0457-736-736, your favourite character in Seinfeld, outside of the top four, the main four characters. On tonight's show, three burning questions. Daddy Vass is going to throw us over the weekend. Kia's top seven, the great moments on the field, as we said. Also, a non-rugby league related, and I'm excited. Steve will also, he's actually already texted in. And I'm not going to read that out because he is in the Kia top seven. Joel and Fletch, we're going to catch up with our colleagues and our stable mates as well. And like it or lump it from the weekend.
Yes!
Yeah.
What did you like and didn't like? 0457-736-736. Or if you want to give us a call and be part of the show, 1300-01-1170. Daddy Vass will try and take your call. Like it or lump it, what did you like?
Well, I liked Caelan Ponga.
Oh, how good was he?
Just good timing to sort of start to find his feet. He looked a lot more... sort of freewheeling with the ball, but a lot more confident in defence as well. Like he was throwing himself into it, which was great. And I said it from sort of the start. It's just been a little bit unlucky with some head knocks. Like he's going to be right. And he sort of proved that yesterday. And what did I lump? Oh, I'm just overhearing Graham Annesley's explanations.
Oh, the the weekly review?
Oh, mate.
I don't mind it. I like that he does it.
Oh, mate. I'm just – you know what I don't like? It's like, he just admits, it's like, yeah, we got that wrong. Yeah, I'm frustrated. All right, well, what? So what, are you going to drop the referee? Are you going to do something that's going to change anything? Like, if you're not going to do anything, why bother getting up there and telling us? Like,
well, nothing happens, unfortunately, for the side that is on the receiving end. And if it's at a crucial part of the game, there's not much that can be done about it.
It's like the knock on against the Raiders when the, what was it? Well, the Raiders knocked it on. In those last couple of minutes. Anyway, then they kicked the field goal to win the game.
Oh, against the Dolphins.
Yeah, and he came on and he's like, oh.
We got that wrong.
Yeah, we got that wrong. Well, it cost someone a game. Like a game. Yeah, no. But yeah, I get frustrated. It's like, mate, drives me insane.
I'm liking Sam Walker. Now, I'm not sure whether anyone read this story about Sam Walker. I saw Sam Walker in the tunnel at Penrith the other night. He's got a brace on his leg. He's got a sprained ACL, so not a torn ACL. A bit like spraining the ligaments in your ankle. So it's a pain thing. How long till you get back? Might be 2 weeks. Hope he's back sooner rather than later. But he's a great young kid, Sam Walker. I love his response where he said, you know, I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to tough it out here. But now I read a really good story today about after the team was beaten the other day, and it would have been a miserable dressing shed after you not only get beaten, but get beaten the way they did. He was seen walking around the dressing shed, cleaning up the dressing shed and making sure the players are, you know, as comfortable as possible. And
what else is he going to do?
Well, you're not going to the dressing shed at all.
No, I'm only joking.
Yeah. So great work, Sam Walker. I'm loving that. It means you're a really good team man.
Yeah, and you know what else I like about Sam Walker is the fact that he came out himself and basically just squashed anything about him leaving.
Yeah.
That's good work by him. And look, I don't know what you think. I just think that they need to put him back to halfback, put Manu back in the centres, and put Swali'i back on the wing.
Well, Manu's injured, so Sam Walker, so they're clutching at straws at the moment.
They are in a world of hurt at the
moment. What I'm lumping is the cannonball tackle. Junior Bolo, Tyson Frizzell, both were penalised from the weekend. I think Bolo was fined as well before the Newcastle game yesterday. The reason why I'm lumping it is the players are taught to tackle up around the ball now. It's all about controlling the player while they're standing, and then the third man comes in and takes the legs out, which I think is a player in a really vulnerable position. It's not the player's fault. They've been taught to do this. They've been coached to do this based on the rules of the game. I think the NRL have really built a rod for their own back. So I'm suggesting, how do you like this, Daddy Vass? I'm suggesting that if first contact is made up around the ball and there's no attempt to tackle like a normal technique around the legs, that if you tackle up around the ball,
the only player that can go around the legs is
the player that makes first contact.
Yep.
So if two players hit a player,
so you can't spear in there.
No. So if two players hit a player, like we see, an attacker runs between the defenders, two players tackle up around the ball and they hold them and let the player walk forward, one of those can slide down, but no one else can touch the legs.
I really don't mind it.
It's too dangerous. And when you've got a player not knowing and can't see where players are coming from, and they take a part of the knee or the ankle, whatever it may be, I think we can eradicate some potential injuries, but also it allows the player that's walking in the tackle to continue, like David Clemmer does, keeps walking. It'll teach players to start tackling low.
Yeah, I don't think they'll start that set. The speed of the ruck's too important. They'd rather hold a guy up and hold him and then, you know, tackle them around the legs, let them bounce up to their feet. I got criticised for this a lot when I came back to rugby league from rugby union. I was tackling people around the legs to get them on the ground because in rugby union, when you hit the ground, you've got to release the ball. So the quicker you can get them on the ground, the quicker you can get the ball off them.
Yep.
Mate, Matty Hilder used to be inside me, and I think Matty Peterson was on the outside of me. They just ripped me like heaven and earth about, stop tackling around the legs. Like, they're getting too quick to play the ball on us. And we're on our back foot.
Don't get me started. Not rewarding good tackles.
I picked up on that on the weekend. There was a game I was watching, the Broncos game. Everyone first in contact. 1-2, ball. There's no one, like you said, chopping at the legs. The whole tackle technique's completely changed these days. But Sats, just on that, I think that'll promote offloads. Because someone big like Payne Haas, he needs two or three players up top
to stop
that. Well,
if you've got a powerful
offload.
Player that has got two players up around the ball and they're trying to control the ball and you continue to march forward and all of a sudden one of those players slides down to try and take the legs out, it leaves a player open to offload. I think it potentially speeds the game up.
There are some great tacklers that don't tackle like chest up. You know, like your Cam Murray's.
Trbojevic. Victor Radley, which is he's been knocked out a couple of times with head on the hip.
Blake Braley, he's got great technique.
His brother Jaden Braley is a good defender as well.
Like there is, I played with a guy named Dean Treister who was just, he would fly out of the line, hit him around the legs.
He's a pest.
They'd go down, he still is a pest, but they'd go down and like, you'd almost like they'd be coming down as the other players would be meeting him, so you could still control it.
Yeah.
And you'd put him on the ground quick.
Yeah. Now, as I said, Indigenous round this weekend. Wednesday night, we're going to have a really good chat to Shaq Mitchell. South Sydney plays out injured at the moment. He's a great story about Shaq. He's a great commitment. He's been given an opportunity by the Rabbitohs. He's taking it with both hands.
Hasn't he?
Battles with social anxiety, how he loves his community. I'm really looking forward to the chat on Wednesday night. So make sure you're around and about Wednesday night to hear that discussion. You won't be here, it'll be myself and Woogie. But the big news coming out of today, Craig Bellamy will be in charge for his 22nd season at the Melbourne Storm. In 2024, he was going to finish at the end of this year. 8 weeks ago,
he's going to finish at the end of last year too, and the year before that as well.
Yeah, 8 weeks ago, he said my bags were packed, and I was ready to go, but I'm going to miss the camaraderie and seeing the players each and every day. Now, We have got two versions of audio when he has revealed his decision.
Who is he speaking to?
So the first one is he's speaking to the fans.
And the members, yeah, the members.
Yeah, and the members. And this is what he said on Friday after the game.
I have to announce to you that I will never retire. I've got too much juice left. Woo! I'm still hitch boy.
Yeah, he's very excited when he told the fans, and it's the fans in the crowd.
They love him, don't they? Yeah. So they don't want him to go anywhere.
In the stands at Amy Park. It went crazy. Yeah. But we have also got audio directly after the game, before he told the fans.
Right.
He did tell the players.
He spoke to the players.
As well. And we know that when he's around the players, he's a little bit more animated.
Isn't he?
Yeah, more so than what we just heard then. So this is the audio from the dressing sheds after the win against the Broncos.
I'm not leaving. I'm not leaving.
I'm not f***ing leaving.
that's Munster and Jerome Hughes.
Listen
and
to him.
Pappy
was
in there.
Pappy
was
in there. Chumping around on his bung knee.
Yeah, in all seriousness, apparently had a chat. Cam Munster went and approached him 2 weeks ago and said, Coach, we don't want you to go anywhere. We don't want you to go anywhere. So that's great news for the Melbourne Storm. I think great news for rugby league as well.
Oh, it is. And he's just his record speaks for itself. Yeah. I mean, you know, to have your senior player go up there and basically beg him, say, mate, don't go.
Yeah.
You know, and he obviously has a lot of respect for Cam. And I know Cam's made some significant changes in his life over the last 18 months to, you know, turn, you know, things around for him off the field, which is in turn, you know, I think made him a better footballer. Yep. And, you know, he'd respect that. And, good on him.
Now, we're getting plenty of texts about Seinfeld's 25th year anniversary of their last episode. Who's your favourite? Who's your favourite character outside of the main four? We've got Evening Boys, Babu Butt, the Pakistani restaurant owner who Jerry got to play. That's Fitzy. And also, I like the guy that dressed up as a clown in Seinfeld, the New Material Arts, Jeremiah MC. Some really good ones. Are we going to get you got any more there? We've got Jay Peterman was good value.
Oh, mate, I can't get through it.
Followed closely by Jackie Childs. Jackie Childs. Who told you to put on the bomb? I didn't put
Uncle
Joey
Leo.
Put on the bomb.
Uncle Leo.
Hello.
Kramer's lawyer who told put bomb on
Jackie Childs. He was great. He was great. Let's get to a break. The award-winning 7-seat Kia Sorrento. Sats and Rad on Sports Day. Up next, Daddy Vass is going to hit us 3 burning questions.
The award-winning 7-seat Kia Sorrento, Kia's large SUV, available now at your nearest Kia dealer. This is Sports Day. We'll be back soon. The award-winning 7-seat Kia Sorrento, Kia's large SUV, available now at your nearest Kia dealer. This is Sports Day.
Yeah, welcome back to the show. 3 burning questions on Sports Day. Get it done with Toolkit Depot this Easter. Easter? We've already eaten our eggs, haven't we?
Mm.
Just get the Toolkit Depot. Get everything you need.
Oh, you've done the old Ron Burgundy over there, haven't you? Just read what's on the prompter. He'll read whatever's on the prompter.
No exclamation mark. Yeah. 25 years since Seinfeld aired its last episode. Plenty of text coming in. Festivus. Remember Festivus?
Mm.
Instead of Christmas, you celebrate around a pole with some tinsel on it. Now, 3 burning questions. Daddy Vass, this is your segment.
G'day, boys. Yeah, one of the biggest talking points from the weekend, Paddy Carrigan.
Mm.
Did he deserve to go to the bin? And now, what the hell was going on?
Now, Grafton Bronco on 2GF says, hi, Sats and Rat and Daddy Vass, he's lumping the hip drop. The refs are confused, not knowing what one is. And I think we saw that on the weekend.
Yeah, well, obviously the match review committee had something different than what the referees had to put up to say. And this was Graham Annesley early today trying to explain to us, the fans, what is going on.
This will be exciting.
Graham, are you frustrated that there's still instances where there's a large discrepancy between what the bunker determine a hip drop is, or whether they determine something's a hip drop and what the match review committee determined one to be?
Well, I'm frustrated when errors are made, yep. I don't believe it's because of any misunderstanding, because we've spent a lot of time with both the referees and the match review committee on what is a hip drop and what is not. So I'm frustrated when there are errors made. And these are errors that They're unacceptable. We don't want to see them happen. But you know, no one's trying to make errors. They look at these things, they look at them quickly, they get a very short period of time to review them, and they come up with a decision. And as we know, most times they'll get those decisions right, sometimes they get them wrong. Now people will say, well, how can they get that wrong when they look at that? How can they see a hip drop in that? And to be honest, you know, I can't give you a legitimate answer to that, other than the fact that when they looked at it in time frame that they had to look at it, as I said, there were three elements.
It's just dribbling nonsense. It drives me insane. Mm. That is my lumpet, and there is no way that he deserved to go to the sin bin. And if you look at the tackle, he didn't land on his legs. Like how does the bunker look at that and determine that he needs to go to the sin bin?
I know. Well, the reason why is because, and we've heard Graham Annesley say this before, and he is right, is that the referees are trying to make decisions, live decisions, in a split second. And so when they see a player end up around the legs and the player lays down and holds his ankle, straight away the bunker's then having a look at it. And then they advise the referee,
with all the different angles,
that there has been what they would call a potential hip drop. So they sin bin the player, and what was it? A crucial part of the game.
Mm. 10-all.
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 10-all. In a marquee game of the season so far in the first 11 rounds. So if we're going to call it a hip drop, and if the bunker's looking at it, I want to know who's looking at the look. Is it a player, an ex-player that's been in that situation before? Is it a referee that has never been in that situation before, when there's so much momentum in a tackle and there's so much physicality that things can go wrong, unless it's intentional, of course.
It can't be black and white.
None of them are black and white. The game of rugby league isn't black and white. There's too many
moving
pieces.
But this is the problem. This is the problem, Sats. They make these rules and these decisions, or they shape a rule around, okay, if this happens, it's that, you know, and that is not the game that we play. Mm. The obstruction rules, the same. Like, it's... I understand what they're trying to do with the instruction rule, but there are so many times people score tries and that guy's not getting anywhere near them and they call it back. And so these are people in there that are like, oh, well, it says that if you do this, then that's a penalty. And don't get
me further started. Compounded that no fine, no charge, no suspension.
Well, I'll ask you this.
But Graham Annesley's frustrated. That makes it all okay.
Could Paddy Carrigan have done anything else in that tackle to avoid that?
No. Well, win the tackle.
Yeah.
But he's tackling a 6'8", 120-kilo giant.
And unfortunately, he lost the tackle and momentum takes over. I keep saying it. Try not to be too confusing in rugby league, but physics takes over and gravity drags him down the back of the player. So it's unfortunately part of the game. You reminded me, Rat, last week. I lost 12 weeks in 1993 playing against Penrith.
Mm.
And I 12 weeks with a broken ankle, or like a torn ankle, from what would be regarded as a hip drop. You missed a number of weeks.
I missed 3 months. Had an ankle surgery. And no one even thought, like, it's part of the game. Like, I was pulling through a tackle. I came down on my ankle. It was an injury. Like, I hurt my ankle. Like, no one's going out there to intentionally do these tackles. It's the nature of the position of the body. Now, I understand they're trying to protect players, but there's a difference between something that happens through force and what happened with Carrigan on the weekend and the one that he did last year where he pulled himself into the back of the
Jackson
player.
Hastings. That
pulled
was a bad
in
one.
The back. And if you can't watch and ascertain the difference between those two things, then you shouldn't be in there making decisions on it.
Exactly. Exactly. So we're all frustrated.
Yep, we're fed up. All right.
So would we all agree that unless it's an intentional act, and we know the intentional ones, do we all agree that if something like that happens with Pat Carrigan, put him on report, let's play on, and let's deal with it after the game?
Yep.
100%.
Unless it's intentional and you send them off or sin bin.
I don't think anyone in the game is intentionally hip dropping.
Oh,
there has been a couple.
There has been.
Like, I think Pat Carrigan's last year was...
And then I won on Hamlin Ewoli was pretty bad.
Mm. All right, moving on.
Yep.
Are the Roosters at
risk...
We
were all yelling at Cloud then, weren't we? Yeah.
Are the Roosters at risk of missing the finals in 2023, boys?
Absolutely.
They're at risk of missing them, but I don't think they will. They're definitely at risk with the way they're playing. Hey, Rat.
They need to improve a lot. I mean, you know, I've looked at the table. There is nothing in this table.
Mm.
I mean, look,
any team's at risk of missing the finals the way that the bloody this competition's going. You just, I mean, you can have five good weeks and you're running second, or you have five bad weeks and you're running 14th. It's that close. But yeah, they need to turn things around pretty quick. And I don't know, with Origin coming up, they're going to be missing players. They've now got an injury to Manu, to Walker. I'd have grave concerns if I was at Rooster Muzz. I'd be having a Bondi Jack. I'd be having a. I'd be a little worried at the moment.
Watching that game on Friday night, and they've always been such a physical side, always built around defence. But I've got to say, as much as I hate saying this, because Jared Rhea Hargraves is one of my favourite players of all time, they're getting beaten up in the forward pack.
Mm.
They're getting beaten up. They're getting out-muscled, far more physical the other side.
So does Lindsay Collins play Origin the way he's going in the middle?
Well, I mean, based on form, you'd probably say no, but there's been a couple of games when they've been defeated where actually he's really stood
he's
up.
He's been the one.
So
missing Takiarko.
Yeah. You know, silly Satili Tupanua just coming back from a long layoff. Mm. Angus Crichton just coming back from a long layoff. So, I mean, I think they'll click. I think they're too good of a team not to.
We said this about the Cowboys a few weeks ago, and look what they've been able to do.
Mm.
What do you think the turning point needs to be, boys, for the Roosters? Is it an attitude thing? Is it a defensive mindset? What is it?
They've just got to beat their chest a little bit more.
Oh,
they've just got to.
They've got to simplify things and just go back to, personally, I think that they need Sam Walker back at halfback. They need Manu in the centres and need Sulee back on the wing.
No, I agree. When they're all fit.
Like that's Sulee's best at there. You put structure around Manu, he loses that freewheeling ability to come in from centre and just pop up where you don't expect it. He plays very much like, Turbo does in Origin.
Mm.
Just freewheels around the field and gets involved where he wants to. But you put the six on his back and all of a sudden he's got this structure that he's got to sort of try and play to. And you can't, and if he doesn't, takes everybody else out of the game. He wants to inject himself in the game just, at an ad-lib situation. You can't do that when you're playing 5-8.
Mm.
And I just think they've got it wrong in that sense.
Yep.
All right, number three, a lot of talk around Origin at the moment. Teams set to come out.
We're
going to
pick our teams tomorrow night.
We are going to pick our teams.
Yeah, because Rats last shift tomorrow night. So.
Yeah, Tom. Last shift.
Tomorrow night.
My probation's finished
for the week. We forget about him by Friday, then he lobs up again on Monday. But on Monday is when the teams are picked.
Yeah.
They'll be picked before we come on air.
So a week out, should Freddie say to Tom Trbojevic, let's forget game one and get you ready for game two?
Well, Joel Cain said this a few weeks ago, and I sort of looked at him and I thought that's not a bad idea. Now, you got to get yourself right for club footy first and foremost.
Is he injured or are they just going bad?
No, he's injured.
He swears he's not injured.
Britton Nakora stood him up like he was standing still yesterday down that eastern touchline.
He's fast, Britton Nakora.
I know he's fast.
Teddy's
one of the quickest.
Fastest back rower ever.
Yeah.
Not as fast as Dave Fafita yesterday.
Oh, what about Dave Fafita? Gee whiz.
So good to see.
Yeah, I don't think he's injured.
Of course he's injured.
I don't think he's injured.
He's ginger.
Pick him up. Pick him, New
he
South Wales.
He may be ginger as a kid.
Pick him, New South Wales.
But if I'm Freddie,
he's not getting picked. Not in the form Campbell Graham's playing.
No, I'd say, listen, let's get you back for game two. We're either winning a series in game two or we're trying to save a series in game two. Yep.
Right.
Get it done on the long weekend with great deals on outdoor gear from Toolkit Depot, 0457 736 736. What are your thoughts about any of those three burning questions? The Pat Carrigan, we're sick of talking about the hip drop. Roosters' risk of missing the finals. Should Freddie tell Tommy Trbojevic, let's forget game one? Let's get to a break. Sats and Rat, and on the other side, we'll get a news update.
The award-winning 7-seat Kia Sorento, Kia's large SUV, available now at your nearest Kia dealer. This is Sports Day. We'll be back soon. The award-winning 7-seat Kia Sorento, Kia's large SUV, available now at your nearest Kia dealer. This is Sports Day.
Yeah, welcome back to the show. And Polaris, Australia's number one selling side-by-side brand, they bring us the news update. Now, we're getting a few texts here. I'm just going to try and get to them. Here we go. Considering the media go into a frenzy when a player, and there's some text missing in that, camp outside homes and courthouses, etc. With that in mind, it'll be interesting to see what NRL 360 do with the Paul Kent situation. Another one here. What's going on the latest of Paul Kent? There's been a few texts here, SMSs around. Why we're not talking about it? No one's talking about it. Well, there's a court process to go through.
Well, at the end of the day, Sats, even for the players, it's reported, it's news that, you know, there's been charges laid, you know, that's it. But then nothing's said until, you know, after. And look, if Paul Kent, who's been accused of, what's he been accused of?
Domestic violence. Yeah.
If it's proven to be right, then he'll get the book thrown at him and everyone will open up, I'm sure. If he gets proved innocent, then, you know, we can go on about our lives. Like, it's not something that, it's just the way it is. You can't talk about it. It's in the hands of the courts and we don't know anything.
And listeners, don't worry. There would still be photographers and reporters trying to chase the story.
Yeah. We want to talk about sport.
So, yeah, he'll go through the process and we'll see how it plays out. Now, news update. Thanks to Polaris, like I said. And outside and off the rugby league field, Jason Mayhem Maloney fought 9 rounds. Now, get this, with a broken right hand. I love watching this fight yesterday. Steve from Dubbo, you'd be loving this. To beat Vincent Astrolabio, who's a Filipino. Majority decision. He became the Australia's latest boxing champion. He won the WBO Bantamweight Champion at Stockton Arena, in California. Now, what about the judges' scorecards? Honestly, if you watch this fight, it would frustrate you no end that one of the judges had it a draw.
Right.
He absolutely put a clinic on him. Yep. He did. And he will appear in the Kia Top 7.
Well, they tried to rob him, didn't they?
When they first said judge, and I've got his name here. I don't want to get this wrong. Tom Carasone, 114-114 a draw. And luckily enough, the two other judges had it a majority decision. So great work. And the good part about this is Andrew Maloney, his twin brother, is fighting next weekend for a world title as well, the junior bantamweight. So about a kilo and a half lighter.
Oh, how good is 52 that?
52 kilos, 53 kilos these guys are. 51 kilos is Andrew. So, yeah, so twin brothers get to fight for world titles 1 week apart. Very
exciting.
Did you
watch that at Woogie's place?
Yeah.
You say he didn't pay for it.
He didn't pay. He wouldn't pay for it. I paid for
you
it.
You didn't.
I paid for it.
Oh, you paid for it.
Yeah.
Oh,
he said, you can come watch it at my house, but you've got to pay for it.
Oh, he's not bad. That
didn't
bloke,
provide
is he?
One packet of chips or a soft drink.
No, nothing.
Or a beer
doesn't
or anything.
Doesn't surprise me.
Embarrassing.
It's the same here. He doesn't bring anything for
he
the
doesn't.
Team.
No, my no. wife brings everything in.
Yeah.
She's
she?
Great. Mm. Love that. Thank you.
What's happening with the Dragons? Rat?
Oh, mate, the Dragons. Dragons will make an announcement tomorrow on Hook's future. So, and the Bellamy decision, you know, seems to have, I guess, all but made the decision for the Dragons in terms of who they might put in that role. Because Jason Riles was heavily tipped to take over down there at Melbourne. Obviously, Bellamy's staying. So, I mean, he's got a good, he's come from good stock, Riles, in terms of his coaching pedigree. He's spent time under Bellamy. He's spent time under Robinson. He's spent time with Eddie Jones over in England rugby. Mm. He'd have a wealth of knowledge.
Great guy.
And, mate, I mean, he's an imposing...
former halfback, you know.
Yeah, well, when
apparently
he was about
grew
three.
7 inches or something when he was 16 to 17.
He was the first guy that really changed the shape of that front row, I reckon. Like, you know, there was
6'5".
There was Chief, and then there was him, and, you know, Spud, obviously. Like, those guys, those big, you know, that went from the Marty Bella shape and the Stan Jurd shape to those guys.
They were big and they could run like centres.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And now they're all like that, aren't they?
Do you know, with the Dragons, and I think you're right, I think this will... Well, the way this will play out, it looks like the Bellamy will coach next year. And, you know, the insinuation that Jason Riles comes off contract at the end of next year, so it's just an easy transition. There's Mark Brentnell as well, who's part of the coaching team down there. Does he get the spot? People will believe that Billy Slater may one day take over.
Down in Melbourne. Yeah, I think in Melbourne, Bellamy won't – I don't think Bellamy will move until they're well and truly – like 100% on to who they need to move on to.
Succession plan. They do.
I think it might be Slater in 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, there's no rush for Billy to be an NRL coach. And off the field, he is so busy with his thoroughbred company. You can't do anything else if you're coaching NRL. And his passion and love is horses.
Mm.
So I don't think he's any rush to be Qantas.
No. No, well, he's got his Queensland job and he's going to learn more and more as time goes on.
And they
there
do and, due diligence better than
but
anyone
But he's very good, Billy. He's just very calm and he's very, I feel like he's the guy. I don't know. I mean, he's Melbourne through and through.
I love listening and commentate.
Yeah.
His image of the game is great.
Yeah, so I mean, that translates to coaching, right? Because it's what he sees and what he can, you know, communicate. So, yeah, look, I thought the way he handled himself in last year's Origin Series, the way, you know, he kept the pressure off his team, the way he sort of, you know, steered that team throughout the camps and the media, you know, I just think he's made for it, whether or not he wants to do it. And it might take a year or two for him to to want to do it, or you know, maybe he never does. But I know every Melbourne fan would love it.
Do you know good teams when they're going to pick a coach? They're the ones that sing from their own gospel. They don't dance to anyone else's tune. And what I mean by that is, the Dragons at the moment they're vulnerable, and their board is apparently going to make a decision at their meeting tomorrow. But the Dragons need to stand for something.
Yeah.
They need to say, whoever their number one man is. If someone's going to take over from Anthony Griffin, and he is in fact showing the door tomorrow at the end of the year, whatever that may be, they need to say, and I'm not going to use someone as an example because it's disrespectful. Person A, we see you as the coach of the Dragons. We need an answer by tomorrow, close of business, if you want to coach this club. If you don't, we've got to move on. Instead of, I'm not saying they're doing this, I hope they've done this, is where they talk to the player, the coach and the manager, and they say, this is what we stand for. We need to know whether you're in or whether you're out.
I like that, Sats.
Not just dance around the subject.
Like,
and
not like, you know,
what do you need?
Put something out in the media that, oh, we'd like to speak to Billy Slater, or we'd like to, you know, that sort of stuff that you sort of tends to come out of St. George. It's sort of like everything's up in the air. And maybe it's just people making assumptions, but you want a club that everything's in-house, and the announcement gets made. Nobody knows about it because it's been kept in-house. The meetings have been kept in-house. You know where you're headed. You got your guy and you make a decision.
Yep.
And the press know about it when you've made that decision, not before.
Exactly. Stand for something.
Yeah.
Yep. Dally M leaderboard before we get to the break, and Harry Grant has moved into second spot on the Dally M leaderboard. He got 5 points, of course. Just to remind the listeners, it's 6 points you can earn with two judges now, two giving 3 points. He got 5 points from Thursday night's game against the Brisbane Broncos. Jerome Luai got 6. Kalen Ponga got 6. Trell Mitt, 4 points. How's the leaderboard look after 11
rounds? At the quality of that top 10. Haas, Grant, Walsh, Mitchell, Hines, Johnson, Walker, Cleary, Edwards.
Any one of them. Is there any surprise there for you?
No. Probably Sean Johnson. He's probably playing better than what most people expect. Well, certainly better than what I expected. I think he's in career best form at the moment.
Yep. So Payne Haas on 30 points, 5 points ahead of Harry Grant.
That's probably a surprise because it's not something that you see.
Yep.
You know, front rowers. But if he keeps playing the way he's playing, he wins it hands down.
Payne Haas. Oh, yeah.
He's just that dominant. Yep. He just, the way he manhandles. Like not grown men, 110, 115 kilo men.
Yeah.
It's just mind blowing.
Mm. Michelle from Dobbo says, guys, the Tigers are after Sean Johnson for 2 years. Do you think it's a good buy? Well, at the moment on 22 points, sitting, what, sixth or seventh on the leaderboard, you'd think it would be a good buy, but I think New Zealand and Sean Johnson just fit nicely.
Mm.
It's emotionally exhausting going to a club that's struggling. And
having to be that guy.
A lot of the weight's put on your shoulders in jersey number seven.
It's an emotional. It wears you down.
Yeah.
He's got a young family too in New Zealand, so he's going to have to relocate.
I just think they fit New Zealand and Sean Johnson.
It's his DNA. It's who he is.
Look, if they could get him, and they could get him for a good price, what's a good price for
at
Johnson?
32? 500?
I'd pay him a bit more than that.
Yep.
They need to – he's a premier halfback in the NRL.
But he's 32.
Yeah, but they want him for 2 years – because they need something instant, and maybe they've got a younger player in their junior system that they can learn from. Mm. That they can learn from Sean. You know, like I'd be paying him, you know, $650, $700.
They want to get SJ. They can get Benji, coach and play. Get the boots back. I'd
love to see that again. Love to see that again. Last captain coach.
I'll tell you what, he do better than some guys I see running around.
Last captain coach in the NRL or New South Wales Rugby League.
I was going to say Tommy Bishop, but probably not.
Put out the listener, 0457 736 736, and I think someone will get it pretty quickly. Polaris end of financial year deals are on now. Get up to $3,000 free accessories on the Polaris Rangers.
The award-winning seven-seat Kia Sorento, Kia's large SUV, available now at your nearest Kia dealer. This is Sports Day. We'll be back soon. The award-winning seven-seat Kia Sorento, Kia's large SUV, available now at your nearest Kia dealer. This is Sports Day.
Yeah, welcome back to the show. Sats and Rat for a Monday night edition. So many texts to get through, especially in relation to Seinfeld, your favourite character outside of the main four. We're going to get to some of those, but I asked a question leading into the break. The last captain coach in the NRL / New South Wales Rugby League.
Yeah, there's plenty of came in. There's Bozo, Tommy Radonikis. Not them. So Michael, 289. We've got Neil from Quakers Hill. We've got Muzza and Shotto. Yep, you all got it right. It's Wally Lewis.
Was too. Wally
1992.
1992 he was.
Oh,
absolutely.
Geez, that was. Yeah, okay. Let's go.
1992 and scored a try against Penrith in the last game of 1992. As
imagine
captain
being
coach.
A captain coach. God.
I know. My son, actually, who's a rugby league tragic nerd, he just texted in and said, Jordan Rankin. Now, you played with Jordan Rankin.
I did.
First grade at 16.
Well, no, I didn't actually play with Jordan Rankin because he came in because I was injured.
Oh, really? Yeah, game against Newcastle. I think Brian Smith was coach. And he's still at school, year 11.
Yeah.
Unheard of. Never happened again, that will, based on the rules. But Jordan Rankin, funnily enough, and Jack, my son, just reminded me on text message, is that he was the captain coach of Parramatta's New South Wales Cup side.
When?
Like, recently, like this year, I think someone's taken. He's still playing. He's part of Parramatta's like coaching pathways as well.
Yeah,
great guy, Jordan Rankin. Great kid. Okay, your favourite Seinfeld characters that aren't part of the top four.
What about them all?
Snakos. Hey boys, love the show. Frank Costanza, Festivus for the rest of us.
Yeah, that's from King of Dirt. Says George's old man too. Frank, old Frank. Costanzas. We got from J Dog. Big J Dog says Kramer's lawyer who told. To put the balm on.
Yeah, that's Jackie Childs.
Oh, yeah, Jackie Childs. Peterman from Neil at Quakers Hill.
Carl from Cronulla. Great show as usual, man. Of the main four characters, who was the one that only missed, one of them missed the first ever episode, the pilot?
Main four?
No, the main one. There's one out of the main four that missed the pilot.
Was it Elaine?
It was Elaine.
There you go.
She didn't even realise that episode existed.
I like Elaine.
Yeah, she's good.
Great. Yeah. Soup Nazi.
Oh,
no soup for you.
You can't say it. You can't say soup. You just say the guy that used to serve the soup.
Oh, really?
In this day and age.
Why?
Yeah.
Who was the soup Nazi?
What about Tim Watley, the dentist, the episode when he converted to Judaism just for jokes? Now, Tim Watley was.
No soup for you. Come back 1 year.
Bryan Cranston, the guy from Breaking Bad.
Yes.
Yeah. Coming up after the break, Kia top seven, all the moments from the weekend, our injury update from round 11, and Joel and Fletch. Stick around.
The award-winning seven-seat Kia Sorento, Kia's large SUV, available now at your nearest Kia dealer. This is Sports Day. We'll be back soon. The award-winning seven-seat Kia Sorento, Kia's large SUV, available now at your nearest Kia dealer. This is Sports Day.
Yes, it is for a Monday night, and welcome if you're joining us for the first time tonight on your way home or listening on the phone, whichever way it is, or if you're listening in the podcast later on, welcome to the show. Brought to you by the award-winning seven-seat Kia Sorento. We're going to have a look at what's coming up in the next hour, which is the Kia Top 7 from all the moments across the weekend. We're also going to have Joel and Fletch. Got some golfing news as well, which is really exciting for you, Rat, today.
Not your
golf game, because you had a horrible morning. You shot five over.
It is when you play off one. It's four shots worse.
Oh, God, you're a wanker when you shoot off one.
Well, it's not good. It's all right when you play off 36 like you.
Yeah. Beryl from Birrong says, don't go bagging Woogie, Rat or Daddy. You're still on probation. Now, Beryl from Birrong is actually Woogie. Now, can I tell you something about Woogie? I went over his place, as I said earlier on, to watch the boxing. He says, come around my place, watch the boxing. I said, yeah, okay. So I get round there, and I said, so have you got the boxing on? Have you bought it yet? He goes, oh, no, I've never bought it before. How do you buy it? So I end up getting my card out.
And oh, so you had to pay for it.
I end up paying for it.
No
so
way.
We sat there for 2 hours, not one offer of a drink, a beer, a rum, a water,
pack
a
chips.
Soft drink, a packet of chips,
he would
nothing.
Have eaten all them.
Pork knuckles. Remember those pork knuckles? Remember those bags of pork knuckles? Yeah, how nice are they? So I didn't get offered anything.
Oh, wow. Well, I'm not going to say that's bad because I'm not allowed to bag him, but you just did.
Yeah, I'm out of probation. I'm in my 11th year, so I'm fine.
Yeah, nice one.
Now, teammates. Teammates who vouch for their teammate to play Origin. Can we take much from that, Rat?
No.
So
it'd be like me. It's like me picking my son.
So when a journo walks up to Matt Rogers after a game at Cronulla and he says, Matt Rogers, what are your thoughts about Martin Lang being picked for Origin? Do you think he could handle Origin? So what are you going to say?
No, he's weak and he
runs.
Yeah, he's horrible.
Yeah.
Couldn't do it. Mate, that's ridiculous. Of course you're going to go, oh, mate, he's ready for Origin. He should get a jersey.
You know what
it's,
they're
almost embarrassing.
What they're actually doing is they're talking about their player that could be possibly putting out one of their teammates they've played the Origin series with.
Before.
The year before.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't take anything from it.
Yep.
But, you know, it gets their name out there and, you know, I don't know, might, you know, bring the team closer together. I don't know.
What do you make of the rise of New Zealand Warriors? I've got to say, at the start of the year, I'm just looking at the board over here, our predictions for 2023, and I've just got to pat myself on the back and give myself a bruising here. I did say the New Zealand Warriors, bro, were going to be the most improved team in 2023. You said the Tigers.
Yeah, but I also said...
Can you do that noise, that bom-bom noise?
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
But I also said my biggest...
Biggest...
The slider...
Yep.
...was going to be the Eels.
You did too.
Yeah.
Yeah, which
yeah.
I have.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or, no, probably the Cowboys at the moment.
Oh, yeah, probably on par.
Yeah? So, the New Zealand Warriors. Andrew Webster, he wins the Ivan Cleary Cup for 2023.
What's that?
Well, he coached against Cameron Seraldo, two assistants at Penrith, and they're now at separate clubs. They've faced each other twice this year. He's on the Ivan Cleary Cup. Now, they're sitting in the top eight on for and against. Two questions. Are they playing well enough to make the finals at the moment? Yes or no? Just the style they're playing, the way they're...
I'm still not taken by them. I like that they've got some fight in them, and I like that they're doing. Well, I just wonder how they're going to go when the blowtorch is on them.
Yeah,
I don't think they're going to play finals.
You don't think they will?
No,
I think they're defending too well, not too.
Mm.
Different team. Now the other question is Roger Tuivasa-Sheck, RTS. When he returns, and let's say it is early, let's say it's before June 3rd, if he's not picked in the World Cup squad. I think all the Super Rugby's finished by then, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah. When he returns, just say, okay, hypothetically, he returns this year.
Yep.
Before June 30.
Yep. I think that's a huge in for them.
He doesn't have to return before June 30 because he's not playing for a rugby league.
No.
Okay, so if he returns early, where are you playing him? Charles Nicol-Klukstad's been one of their best players
I'm
at fullback.
Yeah, I'm not putting him at fullback. No, okay. Probably put him on the wing.
On the wing? Does he end up at fullback eventually, maybe next year?
Potentially. So
I reckon Shans would be a really good centre.
Can I tell you this? He's not going to walk back into rugby league and find it as... Well, not that he would have found it easy before. It's not.
How long were you out for?
I was out
five years?
For 5 years. Okay. He's been out for three.
Did you find huge glaring differences?
Oh, my goodness. For a back?
What was the glaring difference?
Just the intensity of the game. It's chalk and cheese. It's night and day. If there was another cliche I could remember, I'd use it.
Yep.
But they are so different.
Black and white.
Yeah. The intensity, chalk and cheese. Did I say that?
You said that one.
Just the intensity and just your fitness has got to be at such a higher level. I mean, you remember when Sonny Bill came back?
Yeah.
Like he got through 10 minutes and he was gone. It's going to take some time. I think him playing on the wing, it's going to be tough because he's going to have to do a lot of work. Centre was a great place for me to transition back into the game because it's sort of, it's probably the easiest position to play in rugby league.
Yep.
He makes a big difference to that side, though. I think they play finals if he comes back.
I hope they do get him back. I really do.
Well, they've got him back.
I know, but just getting back early.
This year. Be a good problem to have. Where are we going to play him?
Raiders They're 5 from 5.
Mm.
That's excluding the bye.
Yep.
Now, the announcement of Jack Whiten, it seems to have strengthened the squad because they got beaten in round 5, 52-12, Rat, beaten by the Panthers, then went 5 straight. Now, 3 of those wins are after Jack Whiten announcing that he's leaving.
Mate, adversity galvanises the right people.
It speaks volumes of the playing group.
It does, and the coaching staff.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
To galvanise that group, if they weren't a solid group, they would have capitulated. Mm. They would have fallen apart.
Yep.
Congratulations to the Raiders players for holding it together and the coaching staff who have obviously just gone about their business. They've had some tough, gritty wins too. They haven't won a lot of them. Well, I mean, they haven't won it, like, hasn't been a blowout in any of them.
Yeah.
So they've had to fight and they've shown a lot of character. So.
Bit of biff on the weekend too.
Mm.
Yeah, Corey Horsbury got
not real smart, was it?
Sin binned. Mm. Actually, we've got a text about that here somewhere. I'm going to get to it really soon. It's about the Canberra player getting sin binned. I'm going to find it here. Here we go. It's from Shagger from Lismore. Hey, Maddie and Sats, in the Paraverse Canberra game, can you tell me why the Raiders bloke got sent to the sin bin for 10 and Canberra got the penalty as I was watching the game at the club with no volume on? Now, that would be Corey Horsburgh.
Yeah.
He got sin bin for what they class as striking, where he pushed a player in the head. But the initial instigation of that was started by a...
Madison.
Parramatta fan, Parramatta player. Yeah, you're right.
I looked at it, though, but I couldn't see what Madison did.
Yeah, I know. It blew up quickly, didn't it?
Yeah, and Horsburgh just lost his mind. It's not a good look, that, from Horsburgh, given origins around the corner. Because if you can't control your emotions in that arena,
yep,
and you get sent to the sin bin in origin,
yep,
that can cost you the series.
Yeah.
You know, so it'll be a little sort of mark against his name because he's had that in his game before and he's working on it, he said. He's trying to sort of calm himself, but it's not something that would be looked upon favourably at all by selectors.
Exactly. Ricky Stewart said that to us. He said he's got a very close relationship with Horsburgh because he wears his heart on his sleeve just like Corey.
Mm.
And he said, mate, I went through that as a player. You do anything because you just want to win.
Mm.
And he said it's about controlling that emotion in the moment. And as a player, that can be pretty hard sometimes.
Well, it comes down to maturity.
Yeah,
like it does. Like young players, they just get out there and you go and watch 15-year-olds and 18-year-olds play and you just think, oh, guys, just get up and play the ball and focus on what's actually going to win you the game and not all this pushing and shoving and carrying on and beating their chest. And it's a bit of that. And, you know, Corey needs to get that right. If he's going to be a top-line player, you need to get that right.
Mm.
Shout out to the Narang Roosters. I'll throw them under the bus. They loved doing that at a young age.
The Narang Roosters.
Roosters.
I was a Narang Rooster.
You were a Narang Rooster, yeah.
Well, I won the first premiership for them. It's 1988, under 11s.
How skinny would have you been in 11?
I was 11. Well, I didn't win it. I was in the team that won the first premiership for them. It was cool.
Did you have a long, skinny
1987,
neck?
1987, like sorry, it was.
Jeez. Long, skinny neck like a... Like you have in the TSS photo we saw the other day.
Yeah, I did. I had the DCE.
What position did you play in under 11?
5'8".
Was that two pass rule? Was it pass? No?
No, I think it was mod footy. Just get it and run.
Mm.
That's all I did.
Now, what do you make of this? If you're a Queensland fan, even if you're a New South Wales fan, because he's been an Origin legend for many, many years, rumours starting to circulate the last 24 hours. Dane Gagai, I'll say that again, Dane Gagai, one of Queensland's best players for many years, outside backs, maybe left out of the Queensland side, replaced by Hamiso Tabuai-Fido.
What? Take it off the agenda. Take it off the agenda.
Come on, that's ridiculous.
That is ridiculous. I'm not here. I'm not having it. I won't accept it. And if it happens, I'm not going to be happy at all.
There are some saying that Hamiso in the centre is Dane Gagai on the wing and Cobbo on the other wing for Queensland.
What about Xavier?
Xavier hasn't been really – he's in my team, Xavier Coates, ex-Xavier. But he hasn't really been mentioned.
Mm.
They've got Cobbo, Murray Tuilagi, who's got that combination with Val Holmes at the Cowboys on the left-hand side.
Yep. And Tuilagi's a good ball carrier, like in terms of, you know, bringing it back. He's a bit lower to the ground or he's a bit thicker set, you know, for those ball carriers. Like your outside backs are, you know, your sort of 8th, 9th, and 10th forward, really.
We were walking around the Panthers field on Friday night before the game while both teams were warming up. And we were standing in the tunnel before we got introduced by the MC out on the field, and the Roosters guys were running out to warm up. Talk about outside backs and how big they are now. If you were playing today, Rat, and I saw the size of Joey Manu and Joseph Suaalii,
oh, mate.
Oh, you would get ragdolled that bad.
I got ragdolled when I played back then. You got to catch it a ragdoll, you, those sets.
Yeah, true. You get tangled up in their legs.
Yeah, yeah. Mate, they're huge. And that's a huge part. Like, you got to do a lot of the grunt work as an outside back in Origin. So, but even as a centre, you got to be getting back there and doing it. Is that Hammer's go? Can you see Hammer doing that? Well, I mean, I'm sure he would try to do it. But
see, it's a little bit like Jaden Campbell. He's not thick set. He's tall, Jaden.
It's hard to get him.
But speed and power, like his father Preston, when they dig into the line, they're really hard to control because of their speed and power.
Yeah.
Maybe Hammer says like that. But if I've got Latrell Mitchell at left centre for New South Wales, I want an experienced Origin centre like Dane Gagai.
On the right.
Trying to upset him as much as humanly
get
possible.
Get into him.
Yeah. And likewise with Latrell on Dane.
Yeah, I think Hammer will play a lot more Origin.
Without a doubt, yeah.
I'm just not sure he's the sort of player you could just go, okay, you've been playing fullback all year, we're just going to throw you into centre now. I think he's just found his feet at fullback and he's going really well with the Dolphins. I think if you just threw him into the centres at that level against Latrell Mitchell and said, righto, mate, you got a job to do, I think it might be just that one step too far. I could be wrong. I have been wrong before.
You have not. Have you? Have you really?
I thought. Well, you know, I have. I've got to admit it. But yeah, I mean, look, I'm not the selector. It's just something I wouldn't do.
Yep. Okay, let's get to an injury update. Thanks to Bupa. Switch to Bupa, Canstar's outstanding value health insurance for 2022. Now, Josh Alloy has today gone for scans after dislocating his shoulder in the loss to Cronulla. Yes, just landed awkwardly while he was stretching his arms out.
They're bad ones, those.
Yeah, yeah. And also, Kelma Tuolungi, their new signing, suffering a facial fracture. He'll be out for a number of weeks as well. And they'll be sweating on the return of Josh Schuster, who you'd think might be back next week, and Jake Trbojevic as well. Sean Lane has suffered a hamstring injury.
Oh, that's a bad timing.
Terrible, isn't it?
For Parramatta.
Yep.
It's going from bad to worse.
Yeah, exactly.
Mitch is coming back, though, this week. Mitch Moses.
Yep. Well, he's missing 1 week with concussion, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And what happens? What about the Raiders? They got someone returning.
Yeah, Zach Wolford will be out for 11 days. Had a head knock. It looked fairly innocuous. Like, it didn't look like it was.
Yeah, I know.
But it was a great. They've ruled him a grade one concussion, and he's out for the week. So
nothing Canberra, about Adam Reynolds yet, who left the field, which I thought was a concussion. It's actually nerve damage, and he lost feeling in his left arm and hand.
Mm.
So no word on that yet, and it seems as though that he may be okay to play.
C5-6.
C5-6, yeah. Is that what they call it? Steve says, I just read about Sean Lane. He's out for a couple of months. Yes. How is it not going to be one of them? It's not going to be one of them seasons, is it, as far as I'm concerned? It all began with Ryan Madison. What happened with Ryan Madison?
Well, he missed the first 3 weeks.
Oh, yeah, of course. Now, join almost 4 million Australians and prepare for life with Bupa. My family are with Bupa as well, both on and off the field. And after the break, we're going to do our Kia Top 7 from the weekend's performance.
Beautiful.
The award-winning 7-seat Kia Sorento, Kia's large SUV, available now at your nearest Kia dealer. This is Sports Day. We'll be back soon. The award-winning 7-seat Kia Sorento, Kia's large SUV, available now at your nearest Kia dealer. This is Sports Day.
Reading some of the texts on 0457 736 736 around your favourite character outside of the top four characters on Seinfeld. Of course, yesterday, 25 years since the finale, the last episode. I didn't realise it was that long ago. It's one of those shows, whenever you see it on TV, you never get sick of watching it. You'll continue to watch it again. And some of the characters are 995 says, Seinfeld's best co-star. So many, but hard to go past Newman. Antics with his postman's job. And probably the best when he got stuck in the forest and got a liking to a local farmer's daughter before he was chased into the night with a shotgun. Yeah, very
funny. I love Newman.
He's
I
good,
love Newman.
Wasn't he?
What about Jason from Maroochydore? He says, boy, is my favourite Seinfeld character was Mr. Bookman.
Yeah.
Look
yeah.
up the clip on YouTube. It's hilarious.
Yeah. The library detective. Very, very funny. What about the amount of great actors that have come out, of, that have had an appearance on Seinfeld before they were anything really big?
Yeah.
Heaps of them. David Hernandez was a favourite Yankees, famous Yankees baseball player. He was on the series The JFK, The Spit. Comes down on a different angle. Yeah.
What was that episode when
they recreate when, the JFK assassination?
What was that episode when
Keith Hernandez, sorry, keep going.
What when he cut in the lane and he sort of waved, but he had plaster on it. He, was, yeah. he thought and George thought he'd done the bird, so he chased yeah, him.
That's right.
That was hilarious.
Yeah, an artificial hand. Sats and Rat. I also love George's old man and also George's. Mr. Kruger, yeah, his old boss, Snackers from Canberra. Remember his dad was Ben Stiller's dad?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Frank Costanza.
The first one wasn't. The first one wasn't.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Statsy says Frank Costanza, but the first one, the first Frank Costanza wasn't Ben Stiller's dad. Yeah. Let's get to this now from some of the great performances over the weekend.
The award-winning 7-seat Kia Sorento. It's the Kia Top 7 on Sports Day.
Yeah, we get it, Woogie. You're sending us messages trying to act important. We're all over you. Don't worry about it. The award-winning 7-seat Kia Sorento, number 7 from the weekend. Rat?
Number 7, Volkman shows his class in Warriors colours as New Zealand get the job done over the Doggies.
Volkman kicks again. 6 more. Volkman picks it up, scores the try. Just what the Doggies didn't want. The Warriors celebrate. And now the scoreline, 22-6. That might be it.
What about the Puerto Rican blokes? Beefy from Des Moines. Yeah, they were funny in that march on that protest. Val Holmes, number 6. Slots. I love this initiative, the two-point field goal from 40 metres out. He kicks a two-point field goal as the Cowboys. Will they spoil Ben Hunt's 300th?
It's the plan. They've put up a few statues. Back to Townsend. Now back to Holmes for the two-pointer. Big bomb from Valentine Holmes. Hello. Hail Mary.
Back for a score.
I mean, it's a good time of year to be in form as an Origin player kicking two-point field goals. Yep. How critical would that be in an Origin game?
Absolutely.
Yep. Number 5, Jerome Hughes puts it on a dime for Will Warbrick to claim his second try as Melbourne make it 13 in a row against the Broncos. 13 in a row.
Here's the chance, Hughes. This is still the first. Jerome puts a kick across Warbrick, catches the ball from Melbourne. Terrific try. He rolled the dice, Jerome Hughes, on play 1. And Warbrick picks up number 2.
Good player, Will Warbrick. Two big wingers, Coates and Warbrick. Number 4, well, the Panthers, we spoke about it earlier on. They reminded everyone they're still premiership threats when they annihilated the Roosters on Friday night.
What?
The ball, Sorensen. Sorensen gets through over the top to Peachy. The Peach throws a dummy. Tyrone Peachy gets it around the corner. And there's another one.
The Peach. Oh, there's only one, the Peach. I think that was David Peachy.
Yeah.
But Tyrone Peachy, yeah, great effort, mate, on the weekend. Number three. Bunnies go to the top of the ladder with a shutout of the Tigers. He didn't change that.
Both tries today scored by him. Here's a hot hand. It's a hot hand. It's a long hand. And it's a winning hand. Latrell Mitchell ices the results.
I don't think the Tigers were horrible.
No, you know what? They stifled the Rabbits. Did. People are saying, oh, they'll flat the Rabbits. And they maybe were, but you know what? The Tigers really stifled them.
Yeah.
Yep. Number 2, this is for you, Steve from Dubbo, but I think you'll find a reason still to complain. Part of the whack pack. After 3 world title attempts, Aussie Jason Mayhem Maloney claimed the world bantamweight title in California yesterday.
From the land down under, yeah! Jason Mayhem Maloney!
They try to rob him. Jason Maloney's a world champion, it's the bottom line.
You can hear
they
how
tried
much
to
it
rob
means.
Him.
They nearly robbed him. And as we said earlier on, his twin brother, Andrew, fights for a world title in Vegas this weekend. Number 1, Rat.
Number 1, Kalyn Ponga answering his critics yesterday with an amazing performance to spearhead the Knights to a much-needed win over the Titans.
Fast on his feet too. Speaking of fast on his feet, Ponga is cutting them to ribbons. Now he takes Campbell on. Kalyn Ponga, what a game he is having. it and burnt him on the outside.
Oh, that does deserve a standing ovation. That was pretty special from Caelan Ponga. Off the back of what we just saw, created the chance for Brad...
Yeah, great performance by Caelan Ponga. Answer the critics. Before we get to the break, Michael says... Sats and Rat, while the Pat Carrigan sin binning was not right and changed the game, this is with three burning questions earlier on, sometimes you don't get the rub of the green. My opinion of the Broncos this year will how they'll respond this week. Of course, they're playing Panthers Thursday night. Will they play well or have their heads up their shaminders?
Yeah, that's a good text. Yeah. I agree with that. I mean, this is a young side that we saw capitulate last year, and you know they're talking about they're a different side. They're a year older. They're a year more mature, and we'll see.
Yeah,
it's about you know how you react to your challenges that really proves it, isn't it? So we'll see this week.
Coming up next is Joel and Fletch. We spoke with them a little bit earlier on. And the Kia Top 7, well, it's brought to you by the award-winning 7-seat Kia Sorento, Kia's large SUV. It's available now at your nearest Kia dealer.
The award-winning 7-seat Kia Sorento, Kia's large SUV, available now at your nearest Kia dealer. This is Sports Day. We'll be back soon.
Yeah, welcome back to the show, Sats and Rat for Sports Day. Hope you enjoyed the Kia Top 7. There were so many moments that happened over the weekend that could have made the Kia Top 7. But like we do each and every week, we catch up with our colleagues, our stable mates, Joel and Fletch. How are you boys? I'm excited.
Oh, someone is up and about after their 20-year anniversary.
Yes. Oh, he's pumped up.
Do tell, Sats. What did you get up to? Who was last man standing and why was it Pig?
Three Dally M points goes to who?
Three Dally M's is fought out between one Craig Gower and...
Danny Kulitiva. You've got this crack. No. Okay, play on.
Swainy.
Colin Nice Man Ward.
Oh yeah, because he's flying. He's got all the money. He's got everyone's money.
Yeah. Yep.
You know what, Wardy, correct me if I'm right, but Wardy was in heavily in that side.
Oh, played a lot of games.
And there was so
games.
Much competition to be in that team. And Johnny, he wanted to come back early. And Johnny Lang said, mate, just bide your time, bide your time.
Had a calf injury.
And he came back too early, didn't he, Sats?
Yeah, he did. He was 18th man that night. But, he didn't get to play, but played a lot. Because the first half of the season, we didn't have Girdler or Lang for about 10 weeks. So, Walker, as they call him, Colin Ward, he played the first 10 or 12 rounds and then played a lot of games that year. But, yeah, so he's an absolute trooper when you're digging the heels in into the early hours of the morning.
Sats, how was any Vaxxer Girdler? How was he?
He wasn't there.
Do you guys need me at all?
Oh, sorry. Are you feeling left out, Matthew? Gerds wasn't there because his dad's turning 80.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But he and Presto, the only two that weren't there.
Is Rat there? Is
Rat
there today?
Yeah, he's here.
Okay.
He's here in spirit.
G'day. Hey, Sats, what about out on the field? When everyone was recreating the tackle down the sideline.
Yeah, they had six Harold Matthews contracted players to the Panthers, and they convinced three of them to put Roosters jerseys on and rubber chicken heads. And they ran up the sideline and had to smash their teammates into the sideline. One of the kids nearly put one of the players into the first row. Yeah, it was pretty funny. It's pretty funny.
Hey, good night, Rat.
Oh yeah, yeah. I'm
How
here.
Are you?
Yeah, yeah.
What did you watch the golf this morning?
Yeah, it was good, wasn't it?
Hey, Sats, so...
A-grade. No. Proper A-grade.
No,
A-grade.
No, did you watch the golf? Brad, how good was Jason
great.
Day?
Mate, it's good. He's been in good form for a couple of months now, and same with Adam Scott. It was good.
I didn't know about the sad passing of his mother. So it was all... it was Mother's Day, and he's got his fifth child on the way. I thought it was... It was great TV. Great TV.
Yeah, that was great TV. I tuned into SEN Radio, actually. And I didn't know. Clearly, it was a studio call because Rats is on the line. But this was a great call from you, Rat.
Push it. Lock it. Come out of it. Do everything in the world to slice it. Come on.
What is this?
Slice it.
That's the golf gods.
Slice it. Lock it. Slice it.
That was Rat calling the win of Jason Day, Brian. Slice it.
Hook it.
I thought Rats won. Have we got Rats' original one? That was best.
Mate, we've heard it enough.
I was watching Pornhub the other day, and I turned it down, and I just played your commentary over the top of it.
He's binned it.
He's done that, and this is coming in nicely. Might be a little long. Oh, no, this is right next to the pin. Oh, this could go in. Oh. It's running. It's cracking. Hole in one. Chase Kipka. The beard absolutely flying onto the course. He's binned it. This is unbelievable.
That's awesome. That was Redhead and MILFs.
Yeah.
Brought to you by Rat Rogers.
And we called the game on the weekend, Rat and I, and this is him calling a try.
Please pull up to the service window, please. I can also deep fry the bag.
Rat, you posted a video of yourself. It's fine. But, geez, I forget how bloody quick you were back in the day. That was a Super League. It was a Super League video. When you see those sorts of things, don't you just wish you could go back just for 5 minutes?
Do it again. Mate, I was lucky enough, Shug, to speak to the Sharks on Friday.
Yeah.
Because I'm playing for the Steve Rogers Cup. So Fitzy sort of buzzed me into the team meeting. And Fitzy asked me about memories of the Sharks. And I said, boys... Like, and you, we all know it, like just those moments after a game with your teammates, and it's just so unique to what we do. And you just wish you could bottle it. And that, like, if I miss anything, like, I wish I could go back. I don't really wish I could go back and play because that hurt. But the actual time in the shed with your mates after the game, that stuff is just so special, you know. So,
you know what, Rad? Like, this is not even a rugby league thing, but I vividly remember we were living in a little place in Carrington and we had these... floated stairs, right? And I would fly up the stairs and the heart rate would not raise one little bit. And now these days, you'd have to have half hour sleep when you got up there, you know? Like,
what I miss? I miss when you wore your club polo out.
Oh, yeah. Is that still a go?
No, they don't do it.
Everyone knows who they are now. Back then, no one knew us. There was no social media.
Yes.
So you had to sort of wear them out to sort of like, hey, look at me.
Yeah.
But there was a time in your career where you graduated. Some of your teammates would wear the polo out and you wouldn't have to.
No. I was always wearing it and I'd always strategically sit under, because we had the white shirts.
Yeah.
I'd strategically sit under. Remember nightclubs used to have their fluorescent light?
I used to sit underneath
it. And get the Roosters logo would just shine. But we were talking about this the other day with Laurie, and we were talking about the compulsory polo. And Laurie goes, oh, did you ever do when you're back at the club and you get your mates to do a fake call? I go, what do you mean? He goes, I get me mates to go down to the reception and go over the loudspeaker. Laurie Daly to the foyer. Laurie Daly. Loz would stroll down to
the did you ever get any of the young players, or did you ever get got with that joke where the practical joke where you get a player to put their full kit on, they go down and wait for the journo?
That happened to me.
Did you get
first Australian team? there was a lot of hoopla around it because I was playing for Australia and my dad had played for Australia, so there was a lot of press around it.
Yeah,
and I can't remember who it was. Probably Matty Johns or someone's like, "Hey mate, you got to go downstairs. They're waiting for you." And I'm like, "What?" He's like, "You got a press thing. You got to get down there." You know, so I'm full tracksuit, sitting in the foyer, sat there for about 20 minutes.
Wow.
Thinking, who am I waiting for? And then like they're all behind the pot plant.
Are you okay now, Rad, that we've included you in the...
Thanks for that. Thanks, Sats.
Yeah, okay.
Hey, boys, Sats, you were right. You were spot on, and so were you, Rad. I remember distinctly about a month ago.
Sats a rat.
And I asked your boys, Walsh or Ponga, and you both, quick as a whip,
resolute,
said Ponga on the weekend.
Yeah.
It was awesome to watch him back, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I'm a bit miffed about this... rumour doing the rounds about Gagai not getting picked, though.
What about the text we got earlier, Brian?
Yeah, we got one before saying Timoko. Am I saying that correctly?
Yeah, I love that.
Matt Timoko from the Raiders is going to be centre and Valdust will be on the wing. Oh. That's what we're hearing.
Amiso in the centres.
Yeah. Timoko's been very good.
Very good.
You actually only said, we were only talking about 15 minutes ago. You said there's no smokies for us. There's no one's really going to come out of the woodwork, but that's the first time I've heard that.
Yeah.
What do you think, boys, about Timoko? He's a gun, isn't he?
Timoko is a good player, but I'm not sure that, he's brand new. Like,
Give him time.
They're fighting. Sugar, this is good. They're fighting amongst
themselves. What about Corey Hall's bruh?
This is the Matty Johns, bruh. Andrew Johns.
Yeah, well, we've been talking about the back row of Queensland and just the amount of players. Like, who do you leave out? Do you leave out Capewell? Do you leave out Fifita?
As a New South Welshman, you can't. Like, I don't want Fifita running anywhere near. No. Like the form he's in.
Mm. What about his? Like he, what about? But Lockie Miller didn't make a meter on him in 90 metres.
Okay, let me ask you this, boys.
Little stubby legs.
Mm. From the New South Wales and Queensland point of view, and by the way, I can't believe the pricing with Sportsbet, $1.65 versus $2.20. It's a flip of the coin, isn't it? It's in Adelaide. If Queensland could take guarantee that one New South Welshman didn't play and vice versa, who would you take? Munster? Would you take Harry Grant? Who would we take, Brian?
I'd take Harry Grant.
Yes.
Really?
Take him out?
You'd take him out if you could take one person out.
Yeah, who would you guys take?
Latrell.
Yeah.
Latrell every day of the week.
Yeah, I'd probably agree with that. Latrell, he's just a game breaker.
Mm. And that's why him playing on the left, yeah, that's why you want Gagai. You want some in that centre position and get up under his ribs and, yeah.
Yeah, they were teammates. Remember that when they were teammates and they were rubbing each other's head in the ground?
But we didn't hear he was out, bro, and he's done some good stuff on the wing.
Yeah. No, we don't know this. We just got Gagai. A bit of mail.
We've heard on the text line here is that Tim McCaw would be in the centres and Hamiso Tabuai-Fadoe would be in the centres. It's not saying Gagai's out, but he could be on the wing with Al.
There's just a whisper online about, you know, that Gagai is going to be excluded from the side.
Oh, okay.
And, okay. The Hammer will play in the centres.
Mm. Is he eligible?
Okay. Aliens, inverted commas, only explanation for mutilated cows found on Aussie farm. So, over 18 years, graziers Judy and Mick Cook say 20 cows have been killed in the same strange manner on their, I hope I'm saying this correctly, Yungella property. Organs removed with surgical precision, without a trace of blood left at the scene. The most recent death was 6 months ago, according to the local paper. And the couple found the carcasses of a cow with its udder, cheek and tongue cleanly removed. And once again, there was no blood or marks of movement at the scene. The only explanation they can come up with is that it's from aliens.
Where is this from?
Yungella.
Yungella.
Yeah.
Don't, that correct?
Can
don't
I tell get, you? Can I tell you? We are not alone. We are not alone.
What? Whoa! Hang on. Are you an alien believer,
mate? I want you.
Well, he's got a chest that looks like ET. I know that.
You read like an alien. That was that quick.
Hang on, Rat. Rat, have you seen it? Because look, can I just get back to this? No. This is fair income. Just don't interrupt me, alien lovers. One night, there was a light in the distance, very bright. We couldn't tell how close it was. She saw some strange lights. It looked like it was just on the boundary of the property where I had found a mob of cattle out that way who looked terrorised, and they started running as soon as I got closer, which is very strange. But it's not only happened there in Yungella.
Yeah.
In Missouri in 2013, a cattle farmer cried, alien, after finding three cows mutilated in
Missouri.
The in Missouri.
It's the sister city of Yungella, isn't it?
Oh, right. Yeah. Just
back in 1979, similar incidents happened in the US. FBI is getting involved. So it really makes you think there's something going on that the general public don't know about. Speaking of general public, Rat, do tell. Have you had an experience with an alien?
Well, I haven't. Not personally, but I just... You'd be arrogant to think that we were the only ones in the whole galaxy, wouldn't you?
You know,
Elf the TV show wasn't real.
I know that. Like,
but, and it wasn't called Elf.
Can I just say?
You know Mork and Mindy. You know Mork.
Mel.
No, why do you think this, Rat?
I just think that there's other life forms out there. Is that such a hard thing to sort of digest? Do you really think that there's no other life form anywhere ever, like in any place in the enormity of what
depends
our galaxies are.
Rat's won me over. I'm with him.
Do you believe there's another Earth somewhere?
No.
I'm not sure that it mirrors ours, but have a listen to Joe Rogan's podcast with a guy named James.
Joe, the great philosopher.
Not him. Not
the great
him.
Philosopher.
No, there's a guy that he speaks with.
Aristotle and
rat.
Rogan.
Well, James Fox. James Fox.
Rat, stop talking.
James Fox.
Stop talking.
Hey, no.
You need to check it out.
Keep going, Rat. Why? Yeah. Give me some evidence.
There is definitive evidence of something that happened in 1994 in a town in Brazil. There was 100,000 people that saw it.
Yes.
What happened? Well, mate, you just need to listen or watch the documentary.
I don't have time for
it. It was
docos.
A Brazilian equivalent of Woodstock.
I'm busy watching TV stuff. Have you ever... Okay, have you... Anyone here...
He's snorting.
Anyone
is
here...
Is that you?
Yeah. 96.
Anyone here and anyone up there Varsity Lakes, has anyone ever seen or their friends have sworn that they've seen an alien?
No. What, to me?
No.
No.
No chance.
No.
I love the conviction.
No, I just think that we're not on our own.
Not alone.
There's no way. You think of the size of the bloody galaxies that we live in.
Mm.
Like, we're the only ones. No chance.
Well, no one else can live on any other planet.
Exactly.
Yeah. Planet.
Hey, boy,
not in our solar system.
Gentlemen, we're going to go because we've got a few commitments to get to. And at 6 o'clock, SEN bring you Aliens R Us.
you're going to get a lot of texts about this now.
No, I know. Well, if anyone's been out there, 04577367 36, anyone run into an alien?
We've jumped the
good
shark
on you, boys. So, one of your best today. One of your best.
With hair transplants. Yeah.
The award-winning 7-seat Kia Sorento. Kia's large SUV. Available now at your nearest Kia dealer. This is Sports Day.
Yeah, welcome back to wrap up the show. And just getting you a text line to finish off the show, 0457 736 736. Thanks for all your text messages across a number of issues. Hey, Daddy Vass, was that your call that I missed? Love you, Glennis. Yes, it was, Glenn / Glennis. You've missed your opportunity.
Yes, you did, Glenn.
Yep.
Ness. Mate, that was a stitch-up by you.
What for?
I know you told them that I believe in aliens.
Don't have any evidence of that at all.
I know you did. Because why would that where else but Queensland story have that's a stitch up.
I thought
we were a team.
But we were talking about this last week when you
came up
on
the show last week.
And they would have been listening to the show and they put that in the memory bank.
Right.
Don't let them take the piss out of your rat about another life. I got your back.
Oh, that's Steve. Good on you, Steve. I love you, mate. Thanks. Well, mate.
Put your elf oil on
it's
your
out there. They're out there. Just look, let's watch the docker.
Now, 259 says, hey, team, you can't pick Turbo for Origin. You can't pick Teddy either. They can't even make my super coach team. I'm way off the pace. Latrell at fullback. Let's get some players that are in the team in form. Don't want Luai either, but hard to leave him out after last week.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, it's not a bad point. At what point? Do you go, all right, we've got to change things right up? Because those little changes sometimes don't have the big effect you're looking for.
Exactly.
Sometimes you need radical change
to
get, you know, radically different results.
Exactly, exactly.
And, you know, they've lost two out of the last three when they were raging favourites in all three series and they've won one.
Mm.
It's a big call.
Joey Johns said the other day that they've already picked their squad months ago and they know exactly the way they're going to play.
Oh, that's the argument with Matty?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't think they would have picked the team. They would have picked a proposed team at the start of the year. And Danny Badiris and Greg Alexander and Freddie, they would constantly change that side based on injuries and form. But you would. You'd pick a posed side at the start of the season and then you change that as you go. Yep.
What about Belmont?
What's he
Clarence,
saying?
What about Bubble Boy? Hey, George, ask your friend to take a top off.
That's when they're playing Trivial Pursuit. He goes, it's the Moops. Hi, Sats and Rat. With the Raiders, they all playing as a team. This is Sporty Gav, 2HD. There's no real big superstar under Ricky Stewart's team. Hudson Young is turning into a regular try-scoring forward. Now, you put that to Ricky last week. He disagreed, respectfully.
Well, he does have some superstars in
big
there.
Names.
Like big names in there. But they don't have a Latrell Mitchell. They don't have a, I don't know, who's a But they don't have a Victor Radley. They don't have that.
Well, Jack Whiten was that player. Was they're going to lose him.
And they're going to lose him. But he's right. I mean, they are playing as a great team.
I think Hudson Young will get picked on the bench for New South Wales.
They've probably come together and said, let's finish strong for Whiten.
Well, that's what I talk about, you know. Like sometimes adversity galvanises. Sometimes it pulls teams apart. But, you know, and the right people will use that as fuel for the right reasons. Like Ricky's a smart guy. He's like, right, they're all against us, guys. There's one thing that we can do. We can show them.
Yep.
But we have to show them. It can't be me. It can't be him. It's got to be us. And he would have brought that team together. Yep. And they're doing a great job.
You're right. Danger said there's definitely something out there.
Yeah, of course.
The whack pack. And Jason Day wins the Byron Nelson Classic.
Yeah. And Steve, that wasn't in the seven because it happened this morning. Yeah. It was on the weekend.
23 under.
Mate, killed it. And Adam Scott back in form too, finished top 10. He's 19 under.
Yep.
Finished with that in an 8 under round.
On Sports Day, it's time for the last laugh with Scott Sattler.
I can't believe I just wandered in.
It better be good.
He's coming right in. He's going to do a set after me.
The stage is yours, Sats.
We don't have enough time.
Go for it.
No, we don't have enough time.
Yeah, we do.
30 seconds.
Mate, you have to have it on the show. Go.
Have to do it tomorrow night. Hopefully we'll have Jamie Lee Price from the Diamonds netball. Greg Bird's going to be in
Bird
studio.
Bird is coming in. We're going to give it to him too. He's in Queensland territory.
And the Dolphins assistant coach taking over in 2025. Christian Wolf will join us on Sports Day. Have a great night.